Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. These words serve as sort of the fulcrum around which the whole gospel can rotate in terms of its application to you and to me and to every member of the body of Christ. This concept of justification by faith. And in this faith and in the presence of Jesus, we have access to the grace we need by which to stand, is the center core of the proclamation of the Protestant Church's faith. That's what we're going to look at today. Our access to grace. Grace in which we can stand. Would you pray with me? Lord God, our Heavenly Father, move among us this day so that we, your people, may always feel in sense divine power and presence. For we need to know that we are never alone. And speak to us this day in such a way that we may always hear, understand, and remember. Give us your word by which we mold and shape our living. For we need your word to live eternally. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. Access to grace. Access to grace brings us justification. We are justified by faith, and through faith we have access to grace. Now, this whole idea is foreign to us. We think to be justified. Now, the root of the word justified in Greek is the same root from which we draw the concept of righteousness. In other words, justification and righteousness go hand in hand. And we think, oh no, that can't possibly be true. We can't possibly be justified. We can't possibly have access to righteousness through faith alone. What is justification? I love the illustration from the computer world. When I'm working on an article for Peggy, and I'm writing this article to go into the newsletter, and I'm working on it, and I want to find out how it's going to look on the page, I cut and paste it from the processor I'm working into the one that I use to print out the newsletter. And then when I get it on the page, I click one little button that says justify margins. And when I do that, what happens? The margins on the left is already nice and straight, but the one on the right is jagged, uneven, imperfect, looks awful. But when I click on justify margins, it becomes straight on both sides. The right side justifies itself up with the right margin. In other words, it falls into line with the rule on the page. Justification, in the theological sense, is where we are made to fall into line with God's rule for us. Justification is where God in Jesus Christ clicks on justify margins, and the margins of our life becomes justified, lined up with God's will. And we have access to justification, to have the margins of our life lined up with God's ruler on our lives, by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I thought that you had to do certain things and act a certain way and look a certain way and be a certain kind of person in order to be justified and right with God. There's only one thing that you must do, and that's allow God's grace to move in and through your life, and by faith, press on that justified margin button, and allow God's power and grace to line up the margins of your life with God's rule. It's as simple as that. Justification comes by faith, not by works. It was the affirmation of the Protestant Reformation that it wasn't works that saved us. It wasn't works that makes us righteous. It wasn't works that justifies us. It was indeed faith in Jesus Christ. We have justification by faith. Now, when we do this, we gain access to grace in which we stand. What is grace? Grace is unearned, unmerited, undeserved favor, love, acceptance. I often think about grace when I think about ice cream. Right now, at home, in the refrigerator, in the freezer actually, there is a half gallon of Blue Bell Dutch chocolate ice cream. And I love few things more than a bowl of heaping bowl of this Dutch chocolate ice cream with chocolate fudge poured on top of it. I heard an amen. Thank you. Isn't that a lot of chocolate, Brother Greg? I never met a chocolate I didn't like. Dutch chocolate ice cream with chocolate hot fudge on top. But you know what? While that ice cream's delicious and good, and I can't wait to get to it, it's nothing. Nothing compared to the ice cream I used to get when I was a kid. I can remember playing out in the backyard before we got the swimming pool, Mom. And we'd be playing out in the backyard, and down the street at the very end, you could hear that music. Ding, 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 ding. And I and my brother would come running into the house, "Ice cream man, ice cream man, ice cream man's here, Mom. Well, the ice cream man's coming." And of course, I've used up my allowance. And Mother didn't care. This is a secret, Dad. Mother didn't care. And she would reach into her purse and pull out a couple extra dollars for Chuck and myself to go out and buy from the ice cream man some ice cream that we didn't deserve and certainly didn't need. And of course, we'd get out to the street corner and we'd wait 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 and we'd wait. Because it seemed like the ice cream truck was coming very slowly, and there were like 18,000 kids between us and it. And by the time it got to our end of the street, guess what? They'd be out. So we'd be inching our way down the street, a couple of houses at a time, trying to get closer. And we finally the truck gets to us, and we get in line, and we finally get up to the front, and I knew what I wanted, a chocolate bomb. Ooh, those were good. And I'd get that ice cream, and I'd eat it. And in the heat of those summers, I just adored that ice cream. It was wonderful. It tasted great. And in my memory and in my mind, to me, that's grace. I didn't earn it. I didn't deserve it. And I certainly didn't need it. Not around my tummy. But Mother, in her love for me, in her love for me, which knew no bounds, reached into her purse and took out a couple of dollars so that I could feast on a chocolate bomb. That's grace. Unearned, unmerited favor. Unearned, unmerited largesse. Unearned, unmerited love. Unearned, unmerited forgiveness. I'd been bad. Didn't matter. Mother still gave me the dollars. Unearned, unmerited, and yet still given love. That's God's grace. We've done nothing to get it. In fact, we've done everything to indicate that we don't deserve it. We most certainly don't deserve it. And yet God offers it anyway to us from the cross, if only we'll come running in, jumping up and down, excited, and say, "Gimme." Are you excited about God's grace? Do you come running into God saying, "Gimme," or do you try to earn it? Too many of us are trying to earn God's grace, trying to merit God's love, trying to say, "I deserve this. Look how good I've been. The ice cream in my freezer, I deserve. I bought it. It may be good, but guess what? And I need it less than I needed it back when I was a kid. But it's not grace. It's yummy, but it's not grace. Grace was what Mother made possible. Unearned, unmerited ice cream. God, through Jesus Christ, makes available to us unearned, unmerited, eternal favor. Eternal favor. That's grace. And it is this grace to which we have access by faith, in which we are justified, and in which we stand. This grace, His real presence, which comes to us when we act in faith, to which we have access when we act in faith. There are many means of grace. I've preached this many times, and I will preach it until I go to my grave. There are many means of grace, accesses and ways of receiving God's grace and touching God's grace and receiving God's presence. There's the Holy Scriptures which we read and we study and we hear proclaimed. There are hymns that we sing. I asked us to sing that wonderful hymn a second time today. A beautiful, wonderful, glorious hymn proclaiming Jesus Christ. It was beautiful. A moment of the means of grace. When we pray, we are engaged in a means of grace and a way of acting in faith through which we can access God's grace and stand in God's presence. Baptism, remembrance of baptism, Holy Communion, these are means of grace, opportunities for faith in which we come forward with our heart and soul and mind focused on Jesus, and by which we can receive God's grace anew and afresh, in which we can stand. That's good news, my friends. We are justified. We are lined up with God's rule by faith. And when we act in faith, we access God's grace in which to stand. This access to grace brings our hope of sharing in the glory of God. Because when God clicks on that button, justify the margins of your life, and your life begins to justify to God's margins. Now, when it begins, when it first starts, the right margin of your life is all over the place. Indeed, many of us are sloppily centered, terribly centered. Sometimes it looks like the margins are left, then right, then center, then not at all. And then God clicks on justify margins. And His grace flows into our lives. And we respond with faith. And we partake of the means of grace. And when we do, God continues to pour grace into our lives so that the margins of our living justify up to God's rule. And not just in God's mind does He see us justified, but indeed in our living we become justified. We take on upon ourselves an aspect of the glory and presence of God, and we become a little more like Jesus when we walk in faith. That's the old Methodist message of sanctification, friends. Sanctification. God forgives us, and we're still as guilty of sin as can possibly be, but He considers us justified, righteous like Jesus. But he doesn't leave us there. Then his powerful grace moves into us to transform us. And we can boast in the hope of having the glory of God in our lives too. Not just being considered justified, but in actually having the margins of our living lined up with God's rule. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, Paul doesn't leave us there, and neither does God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings. Oh, it was going good. We had faith, justification by faith. We had grace that we can access through faith. We even have God's glory, which lines us up with God's rule for our lives. And now Paul has ruined it by bringing in suffering. Guess what? Even when our lives are justified by God's grace, even when we are considered as righteous as Jesus, and even when God's sanctifying grace moves through our lives, transforming us and lining us up with His rule, guess what? There's still suffering. There's still tribulation in this life. There is still Satan to confront. Because when you've said yes to Jesus, when God has put His love and His grace in your life, you respond by faith and walk by faith. Guess what? Satan is going to start shooting at you. Why do bad things happen to good people? People of faith and people of no faith seem to get by scot-free? Because there is someone who's mad at you. Satan. And when we step out in faith and allow God to justify the margins of our lives and allow God's grace to move and course through our veins and transform us, and we stand and we boast in the glory of God, suffering does come. There's temptations to sin. And Satan's good at throwing those out there. There's opportunities to go astray. There's the temptation to click on the de-justify margins button of our lives. Sufferings. Satan is going to provide many opportunities for the saints to suffer. And not only that, we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Since 2001, I've suffered from varying degrees of pain in my right leg, from the deep vein thrombosis that I had before I came here, the thrombosis that put me on medical leave and eventually resulted in my coming to be your pastor. This suffering has not gone in vain. I've learned a lot of things from it. For one thing, I've learned that I can live with far more pain and far more discomfort and far more agony than I ever thought possible. I can preach. I can teach. I can go about my work even when I hurt. Suffering produces endurance. I don't want to hear that. I want it to all be over with. I want to be completely well. I don't want to have to put up with all this suffering stuff. I want it done and gone. Well, guess what? One day it will be. I don't know what you're suffering with in your life, my friends. Some of you I do. Whatever it may be, whatever you may be suffering with today, guess what? God will use it to improve and empower and build up your endurance, your strength, and your faith. And you may want it to be over with now. God will use it to His glory and your glorification in building up your faith in building up your endurance so that the life that you live will be justified according to God's ruler. Some of us, I know some of you, face some very difficult times ahead. Surgeries, pain, difficulty, rehab. We got a bunch in this congregation, friends, who find it difficult to get out every single day, even on beautiful days, because of pain. Suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. When I first read that, I thought to myself, character. Boy, we've got a lot of characters here. We do. We got a lot of characters here. It happened this morning. Peggy was doing what? Washing Molly. Hurt herself, hurt her back. She's lying at home with a heat pad on her back. I know of no other character bigger than Peggy in this church. But character has another meaning. It means truthfulness to who you are. Truthfulness to the gospel of God in your life. Truthfulness to God's grace in your life. True upstanding faith is also character. Endurance produces character. Good Christian character. And that character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us. My friends, whatever you're facing today, whatever pain, whatever anguish, whatever fear, whatever difficulty in this life, from taxes and the IRS and bills that you don't know how you're going to pay, to the family problems and family squabbles and difficulties with children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews and aunts and uncles and parents, to physical ailments, injuries, rehab, surgeries, diseases, pains, whatever is facing you, my friends, the gospel is telling us today, the Apostle Paul says to us today across 2,000 years, hope. Live in hope. Have hope. Exercise faith. Access God's grace. Endure the sufferings for the glory of God with hope. Because God's grace will enable you to overcome. We have victory in Jesus. We have the hope of eternity. And hope does not disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. That very love, that very grace, that very real presence of Jesus, which we access through faith, has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. My friends, no matter what faces you today, have hope. Exercise faith. Access grace. Endure suffering. And have hope in Jesus Christ. He will not disappoint you. Give glory to God for the wonderful true message, the true gospel message we hear today, that we are called to live by faith, access God's grace, endure the sufferings of this life, attain God's glory, and have hope in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.